Before we jump into Exodus today, I'd like to point out something that Paul said that was really interesting in the book of Romans. He says in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." What's Paul referring to there when he says everything? Well, everything that was written at that time, he would have been referring to the Old Testament scriptures, the Law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And he's saying that everything that was written in the past was there for a purpose. What was that purpose? Well, first of all, it was to teach us endurance, stamina, strength, grit, perseverance. And not only was it to teach endurance, but it was also to provide encouragement. I don't know about you, but I could use some encouragement right now. Some help, some support, some inspiration, some confidence. And Paul is saying that we can get those things from the scriptures. Specifically, the Old Testament scriptures. Ultimately, Paul's saying that both of these things are pointing us that we might have hope. Hope is a certainty in the present, and it's a firm expectation in the future. These things are provided to us that we might have hope. And so thankfully, as we've been studying the book of Exodus, Exodus is included in the everything that Paul was referring to there. Exodus teaches us endurance. It gives us encouragement, and it provides us with hope. So we've been studying the book of Exodus since early January, and it is the story of God's people being delivered from slavery in Egypt. As we've read through chapters 1 through 12, we've seen the story unfold. God's power and his glory unleashed mainly through the 10 plagues on Egypt. And that punishment upon Egypt came as a result of Pharaoh's hard heart. Last week, we finished off chapter 12 and completed all of chapter 13. We saw the actual exodus, the exit from Egypt. We read about the Passover restrictions, mostly that were there because of the foreigners that came along with them as they exited Egypt. We read about the consecration of the firstborn, not only firstborn males, but also firstborn animals. And then we read about the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, which led the people out of Egypt to safety. Through every chapter of Exodus, we've been reminded that God is with us, not only in our suffering, but also in our success. Today, we're going to cover chapter 14. And it is going to be one of the most famous stories in the scriptures. It's the crossing of the Red Sea. And there's four parts to this particular chapter, or four parts I'd like to break this down into. That being the roadblock, recalculating, the roadway, and reverence. They all just happen to start with the letter R, which makes it fun for me. And so let's go ahead and turn there. Exodus chapter 14. And this chapter begins with the fact that Israel runs into a roadblock, or what seems to be a roadblock. Exodus 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think, 'The Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert.' And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all of his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." So the Israelites did this. Quick question for you. Who is leading Moses? Obviously, God is. This isn't by random chance that Moses is wandering around the desert God is leading Moses, who is in turn leading Israel. And what is God asking Moses to do? He's asking him to turn back, to go back down a road seemingly that they've been down before. It could be said that they're going in circles, but this is exactly God's plan in order that Pharaoh might be confused. God is working out the details behind the scenes. He is in the process of hardening Pharaoh's heart for God's glory. Verse 5. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi-Hahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were, and I'm going to stop right there for just a moment. If you've got a Bible, obviously you can read ahead and see what the next word is. But step back for a minute and just ask yourself, the Israelites were what? Remember, these are the same people who just saw 10 plagues of God unleashed on Egypt. These are the same people that have been being led by a pillar of cloud in the day and a pillar of fire at night. They're seeing a miracle every day. And now Egypt is bearing down on them, and they were what? Were they bold? Were they fearless? Were they confident? No, that's not what we read. We read there in verse 10, they were terrified and cried out to the Lord. And then we're going to read how their terror manifests itself. Verse 11, they said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." So in their terror, they attack Moses. They hit a roadblock, the Red Sea, and now they were being hemmed in by Pharaoh's army, and they were between a rock and a hard place. They were scared, they were complaining, they were doubting Moses and certainly doubting God. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been stuck between a rock and a hard place? Stuck in a place you didn't want to be? Quick reminder, who led Israel to this very spot? God did. Who has led you to the very spot you're in today? God did. I think he should get a lot more credit for the events of our lives than we give him credit for. Well, that was the roadblock. That's where they find themselves in. And now the next part is the recalculating. Where do we use that term, recalculating? Well, historically, we've used it probably in math class. But recently, in this age of GPS, your GPS will tell you when you've missed a turn or when there's a roadblock coming up and you need to detour. You need to recalculate. Moses is at a moment where he's hit a roadblock and he has a decision to make. How and what is the way forward? Is he going to cave to the complaints of the people, or is he going to have faith and trust God? Well, verse 13 answers the question for us. It says, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Moses is at a moment of choice and he's recalculating. You gotta love Moses and the faith that he exhibits in this moment. Do not be afraid, he says. Stand firm, and we're just gonna stand still until God tells us to move. Even in the face of death, Moses has faith. His faith is in the God who saves. His direction is clear. We're not moving back. We're not going forward. We're just going to wait. He doesn't know what's going to happen next. God has not whispered to him, hey, by the way, I'm going to open a way through the middle of this sea. Moses doesn't know what's going to happen. Maybe you're in a moment of recalculating. And so maybe taking Moses' advice would be a good option for you. Don't be afraid. Stand firm. Remember that the Lord is going to fight for you. You need only to be still. Verse 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Once again, maybe you're in a moment of recalculating. You've hit a roadblock. You don't know which direction to go. What should you do? Well, I would encourage you to not be afraid, to stand firm, and to be still. And then move when God says move. How do I know when he says to move? Well, I need to be paying attention to his word. I need to be listening for his voice. I need to be fixing my eyes and my thoughts on Jesus. He's the way. Which brings us to the next section. They hit a roadblock. They were recalculating. And now God is going to provide a roadway forward. Let's read it. It's there in verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. Now, personally, I have a lot of questions about this. How tall were those walls? How deep was this water that surrounded them? How far was it across the Red Sea at the point where they crossed? Archaeologists, biblical scholars have debated about where they crossed and what the details were. The reality is nobody knows. The scripture doesn't provide that level of detail for us. But we can agree, though, it was awesome. One of the most amazing miracles that you'll read about in the scriptures. And so what we find in this case is that God is not only the God of the Passover that we read about in chapter 12, but he is the God of the pass through as they went through the sea. Verse 23, the Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of their chariots so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back into its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen. The entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. Who saved Israel? Well, of course, God did. God saved them. This is ultimately not about Israel, it's about God and His glory. He's the Savior. The God who made a roadway through the Red Sea. It was a roadway of salvation for Israel and a roadway of judgment for Egypt. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. It's because He's faithful, and He will lead you. You may be at a roadblock. You may be recalculating, and you may be asking the question, what is the way of escape that God is going to make known to me? Where's the roadway at, Lord? Keep looking to Jesus. He is the way. Well, there's one verse left in the chapter, and it's the final R out of the four for me today. It's the R of reverence. Verse 31, and when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in Him and in Moses, His servant. God moved, and the result among the people was reverence. They feared the Lord. Now, earlier in this chapter, we read about they were also afraid. They were actually terrified, and that's a different kind of fear. The fear of the Lord is respect, not terror. They trusted in the Lord. They had their faith in Him. Their belief was in Him. And also they trusted Moses again, who led them by faith. This posture of reverence was true for Israel. And so my question is this posture of reverence true for you? Do you fear the Lord and trust in Him? God was faithful yesterday. He is faithful today. He will be faithful tomorrow. He doesn't change. He's always good. You can trust Him. Fear the Lord. That is the beginning of wisdom. Well, next week in chapter 15, we'll read about the song of Moses and Miriam. Now that Israel is once again safe and their enemies have been swept under the sea, Moses unleashes a psalm of praise. And we'll read about that next week, a song of God's deliverance. And also in chapter 15, unfortunately, we'll read about the grumbling and complaining of the people. They complain and grumble against God and against Moses. They have a really short memory, apparently. Some things among people never change. Well, before we wrap this up, I'd like to call your attention to one other passage. It happened to be written 1,500 years after this event. It was written by Paul in his letter to the church there in Corinth, to the believers there. Chapter 10, it's a chapter of warnings, reminders about how Israel has failed in the past and that the church wouldn't follow in their footsteps. The chapter begins with recounting the Exodus story. Those that were under the cloud and those that passed through the sea. And then it goes through some of the rest of the story, which we'll eventually get to in the books of Moses. But there's this really interesting verse there in verse 13. Paul says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. What is the temptation that Israel faced before God split the sea in half? Well, the temptation was to doubt God. to complain, to condemn, and to be afraid. They had a choice. They could trust or they could doubt. They could encourage or they can complain. They could praise or they can condemn. They could have faith or they could have fear. And unfortunately, Israel chose poorly. And Paul points this out and he says, you know what? Everybody faces temptation. There's no temptation that anyone faces that isn't common to all of us. But yet, the promise is that God is faithful. He won't let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. He won't let us be tempted with a situation that we have to give into. There's always a choice. And this is a promise to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the unbeliever, they don't have a choice. Every choice they make is sinful, except for the choice to turn to Christ. But for believers, there's always a choice. Jesus is the way out that Paul is talking about here. He says he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Jesus is the way out. And so when you face an unexpected roadblock, which we all do, and many of us may be in that spot right now, we stop and we recalculate. And we begin to look for God's roadway. But regardless of what happens, I pray that we would give him the reverence that he's due. Before, during, and after, he provides a way out. And when you think about it, as great as the Red Sea miracle was, an even greater parting took place on the cross. At the Red Sea, God parted those waters and made a way of salvation for Israel. And on the cross, Jesus parted his arms. He was willingly crucified and willingly died to pay the penalty for your sin. He made a way of salvation for the whole world. And why did he do this? Well, I believe it's the same reason why God parted the sea for Israel. He was leading them to a place where they could worship him, where they could recognize who he is, and then they could represent this God to the world. God created us for the same reason, and it's the reason why Jesus has offered salvation to us, that we might have relationship with him. And then that we might go and represent him to a world that needs him. All of us have a Red Sea story. For believers, it begins at the cross. And many times after that, where God has provided a way out for you. And now we represent him. We tell our story to the world that others might trust in him as well. The Lord reigns forever and ever. Amen.